Blog Talk Radio.
You want to hear more of their amazing music, you go to newborn.com and you can hear lots of really spectacular songs that they have come up with. But this one, we all go running around. We do run around and around, and most of us run around in circles. And so we're here to kind of straighten that out and to give you a chance to step into the zippy zone where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Zippy Talk. My name is Zippy Feldenstein, and I'm dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. And that is why we have some amazing guests that help us control and become more aware. And today, I'm really excited to talk to Bruce Vinikas, who is a DOM and AP. He will explain to us what that is. And he's a doctor of oriental medicine with acupuncture. He's an acupuncture physician with the National Candida Center. And I'm very excited to talk to you, Bruce. Welcome to Zippy Talk, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be here and share with all people with open ears the adventure and excitement of our galactic family.
Yeah, the galactic family. But before we go to the galactic family, I'm looking at your name, and it says D-O-M-A-P. What does that stand for? Doctor of Medicine?
Exactly. Doctor of Oriental Medicine and acupuncture physician at the National Yes, and I'm a physician by day and a metaphysician by night.
You go through metamorphosis every day. I like that. That is really cool. So I take it you're a night owl, definitely.
Well, yes. I mean, I'd say the adventure starts at sundown, really about twilight, which is why all the yogis recommend meditating at the twilight hours, the transition from day to night. Magic starts there for sure, and that's when I transition from into the more galactic realm. During the day, I work at the National Candida Center, where we specialize in irritable bowel, digestive disorders, everything related to the inner fire that has to be ignited if the healing power is going to be awakened in the body.
Wow, I have to tell you, I went tonight for the first time to the ocean right about sunset time. And as I was walking right by the shore, and my feet were actually in the water. I was walking in the water, and it was such an amazing, magical moment to see the sunset and the twilight, like kind of not quite dark yet, but not light anymore. And I literally felt like I was on another planet. It was just when you said it now, I got the chills because I just came back from it. It was just unbelievable experience today.
Beautifully described,
yeah.
That point of balance between day and night, which we call the twilight. It's the same point between the in-breath and the out-breath. It's the common silence that pervades everything and everywhere in all time. So it's nice to observe it once in a while, which is one of the blessings of the Muslim, of Islam, and the that religion observes the times of day more consciously than any other religion. I mean, good credit goes to them for bringing people to the awareness, creating the opportunity through their religious practice to give people the opportunity to be present in the day at sunrise and sunset and so on.
So you're saying that there are 5 points, the Muslims have 5 times during the day where they have, where they pray. So you're saying that there are 5 points during the day that there's a shift that we need to acknowledge it?
Well, there's 5 opportunities for the people doing the practice to become present. And that's what nature kind of does for us every day in those twilight times, those transition times. Now, the one you described at the beach a minute ago is the you know, the microcosm of the day. But remember, right now, we are in the autumnal equinox. So the entire planet over the whole year, a much bigger cycle of time, just observed their natural cycle of the equinox, where everything is in balance. It's really a wonderful,
so you,
wonderful time.
So you mentioned
time.
The word, the autumnal equinox. Can you explain that?
Sure. The autumnal equinox, and we're right in it now. I mean, it's, you know, there's, of course, an astronomical moment when the Earth passes through the solar equator. So, you know, if you imagine the sun and all its vastness, right, has an equator right through the middle, just like we do. And if you extend that out into space, the Earth crosses that equator at an angle, right, from upper left to lower right, and at 23 degrees. And when we cross that point, we're in perfect balance. The sun's right over the equator of our equator, and the sun, that's what happened today. The sun at noon was over the equator of the Earth as it made its journey northward. Now starts the 6-month process where it goes deep into winter and comes out again in the spring. When we're on the other side of the sun, in that same point where our tilted orbit crosses the solar plane, it's a point of balance, you know, and all of nature knows it. You know, you, when you go outside, the squirrels know it, the trees know it, the oceans know it. The whole living biomass is aware and awake to the fact that we are in the equinox moment.
Well,
but people, us,
New York City?
We're busy, 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 going here, going there. No mindfulness at all about the great natural event happening around us right now.
Yes, we all go running around. But I have to tell you, it was an amazingly beautiful, beautiful day today in New York City, and I think the squirrels and everybody was definitely aware of it. I was definitely aware that something beautiful was happening, but I didn't have a clue what it was. But I was definitely, I felt more alive today, and I was very sick too, but I felt more alive than for some reason. So I guess that must be why.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Every cell in your body is pulsing to the frequency of the equinox balance, just like the oceans are. We're part of that living. So if we can use our mind to consciously recognize it, it allows us to be in tune with it more. So being aware of it is very important, which gets us back to the Muslim tradition of observing the sunrise and sunset. But it's not just Muslim. The yogis, we all get up and do the Surya Namaskar salutation to the sun at dawn when the sun breaks over the horizon. So So I correct myself.
So it seems that you have a special, I would say, kind of liking towards the Muslim or the Islam. Do you have something like a special connection with Islam?
No, not at all. Not personally. My whole background is with the Veda. And the Veda has from ancient India, of the rishis and the sages, has its root before the flood, before 12,500 years ago, into the previous civilization, which was referred to in the sacred scriptures of India as the solar dynasty of Rama. So Rama and Sita and all them, way back, 35,000 years ago. So that's an ancient tradition.
Interesting that you would say it's the solar dynasty of Rama, because my experience with someone that has said that he had contact with extraterrestrial woman, and he said that her name was Rama, and that she taught him a lot of things. And I didn't realize when I was told that story, I didn't realize that Rama is a Hindu name in a Hindu dynasty. So are you Hindu? Is that what it is?
No, I'm a Hindu. Part Hindu, part Jew.
I like that one. That is really cute. But you do a lot of things. You're a co-creator and founder and a member of the Houston and the Orlando Men's Council. You co-create the Houston Youth at Risk program. You did EST, the Forum Landmark, and you created the STEM Builders Adventure Challenge programs. It seems like you do so much. I don't know how you have time to breathe. But what I wanted to know is, You had some kind of an encounter with someone that was not from this planet, and I'm really dying to hear about it. Can you tell us about it?
Well, it was a long time ago, in 1958, when I was 4 years old and looking out the window, and you know, a little boy about that age is just tall enough that he can put his arms and elbows on the windowsill and strain to look out, at which time I saw a ship, a triangular-shaped ship, zip around the tree. Now, this ship was about my size, and when it stopped right in front of me, what looked out looked like he was just sitting there with no glass around him. Maybe there's some kind of, you know, some protective shield, but nothing I could see. So he just kind of, in the middle of this triangle saucer shaped craft, was a small being of about, geez, 6 inches, maybe 8 inches. So very small. And we looked at each other and had a moment. And then he, she, it took off. And
yeah.
After that, for the next several months of that summer, I would come and go from my house through the roof in my dreams. So when I'd come every morning, when I'd wake up, I'd have the recollection of a vivid dream moving in and out through the house. And I remember one time telling my mom I could fly through the air, as I was doing in the living room.
Right, like in your dream, huh? Yeah.
So, the interesting thing of this story is the timing. You see, it turns out that by 1958, the secret treaty we had made, we, the United States government, behind our backs, made with one of the alien races, which is basically operating on this planet amongst many other alien races operating on this planet.
Right now.
It turns out that in 1953, Dwight D. Eisenhower, the president, met with a delegation of Pleiadian, or what are also called Nordic beings. So these are tall beings, blonde hair, blue eyes, very Aryan, Germanic, but called Nordic, who are part of the Pleiadian delegation. The Pleiadian delegation is from the Orion constellation. You probably heard of the Seven Sisters or the Pleiades.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So all the Incan and the Mayan, the Toltec, the Aztec, the whole area of Central and South America were part of the Pleiadian colony, and thus most of their pyramids and sacred sites are oriented to the Pleiades, and as an extension of Orion, connected to the larger constellation. It's all one beautiful, I'm looking at a picture of the constellation. You know, Orion has the three stars in the belt, and everyone can see those right now. We're going into the fall. The autumn equinox means Orion is rising over the eastern horizon, like right now. But when you were out on the beach, if you could have seen the stars, you would have seen Orion over the horizon, those three stars close together in Orion's belt.
Yeah. Wow. So they're actually here among us. How do we identify them?
That's a good question. You have no more chance of identifying them now than really as much as win the lotto. They are completely hybridized.
Oh, really?
Yes, and Penn, that was part of the agreement Eisenhower made with the Greys. Okay, the Greys were the second alien race which tried to make a deal with the United States. The first in 1954 was the Pleiadians. And they offered, they met with Eisenhower and offered to give us the technology to solve all our problems, end poverty, heal humanity, upgrade our education to a galactic level instead of a current tribal level. And Eisenhower said, great, we'll take it. That's all I want for my people. And the Nordics said, but you have to give up your nuclear weapons and not go through with the next level of testing, which was the H-bomb, which was to go off in 10 days. And the H-bomb, remember, is just so humongously colossal. It takes an entire atomic bomb just to set it off.
Right.
So the Nordics were warning us that it might have disastrous consequences ahead, and to not do it, and they'll upgrade our civilization. Well, Eisenhower was pleased and honored, and went to consult with the cabinet secretly. And this is all, by the way, written about. Eyewitness reports, people, you know, still alive gave their testimony of all these events I'm about to tell you. As we move on from Eisenhower's meeting, well, 4 days later, still 6 days ahead of the H-bomb, first H-bomb detonation on Earth, another group of aliens came to visit us, and another delegation of ambassadors from what are called the Greys.
Right.
And they're the little guys with the big heads and the dark eyes. And they said to President Eisenhower, we'll give you the same deal as the Nordics. We'll upgrade all your technology, heal all the people, yada, yada, yada. We just want, in exchange, we'll let you do all that, and you can keep the nukes. Sorry, big point. We just want some people to experiment on. Well, Ike said, what? And they said, yeah, it's just minor. We'll just take a few people. You know, no harm will come to them. We'll put them back where we found them. And Eisenhower said, okay, just keep track of them, and we'll check in with you every now and then and see how you're doing. We're going to limit it to 20,000 people. And so, come along.
How does he have the right to tell him that he can mess with people's lives like that? But I guess that's what they do.
I guess that's what they do. You're right, sister, and that's why we, the people, have to stand our ground and occupy the earth back from its corporate overlords. Yeah, see, that's what is the bummer. This is the bummer. The bummer is that we, the people, now are big and strong enough that they can no longer enslave us like they did in ancient Egypt and ancient India and other, you know, the Aztec and the Mayans. Some of these alien races are friggin' brutal. I mean, the stuff the Aztecs did, you know, playing games in the ball game, you know, getting everyone's adrenaline up because the loser of the game loses their life and are sacrificed at the altar where their living heart is taken out, full of adrenaline, human fear, and it's thrown into the room where a reptilian lizard eats that heart.
Oh, my God,
and those,
that's disgusting.
Yeah, people need to hear about it. You know, and those reptilians didn't come from outer space like the Nordic or the Pleiadians or the Arcturians or no, the reptilians come from the inner earth. They've been here the whole time. They just mostly live underground out of the sun. Oh yeah, but vast underground.
I don't like
places.
That.
Yeah.
So how come we never see them? They don't come out?
Oh, we do. We do. There's plenty of evidence for it. They're all around. But, you know, there's a whole TV series about this, not just a show. A whole TV.
Really?
Sure, called V. V. And,
V, yeah, I saw that. I liked it. I didn't like the aliens, but, yeah.
They were just living among us, hanging out, just like anybody else, doing their job. Well,
wow.
And that brings us from 1950s to today, and this is a powerful kind of ending point to that, and that is that now there are so many aliens living among us that are called hybrid human beings, part alien DNA, part human, or we could say jazzed up human, that well, the president of Russia put it this way. When the president of Russia, under Putin, before Putin, was being interviewed about the nuclear codes that are carried in the case, just like Obama carries the football, it's called, of the nuclear codes with him everywhere he goes, so does all the other five nuclear powers. And He didn't know he was talking on the mic. He thought the interview was over. He was just talking to a reporter who was asking him about the codes. And he says, yes, we have the nuclear codes, but we also have a set of codes for the galactic family who for the galactic family. And she said, oh, my God, what are you talking about? And he said, there's many of them here. And she said, how many? And he said, I cannot say because it'll create too much of a public panic.
Wow.
But it's in the millions. Well, no, it's in the hundreds of millions. There's four, 10, about 10 million.
Four? Wow.
No, 10 million people have reported alien abductions.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's crop circles popping up all over the world, and there's UFO sightings everywhere, and we're busting through, you know, this close encounters of all kinds. And now we've started a fifth encounter, which is human initiated. So this is something anyone can do. Yeah, you can go out and reach out to the galactic family, and they might send a shout out back.
That sounds wonderful, and that sounds great. We're running out of time now. We have 4 minutes left. And so if somebody wants to get in touch with you and hear more about what you have to say, it sounds fascinating. I want to hear more about it. But so if I do, where do I contact you? How do I contact you? Like email or phone number or anything like that, or website?
Well, best thing to do is just call me up and say howdy, 407-491-5733.
Wonderful. Got that. So there you go. You want to hear more of Bruce Vinicka's fascinating story and information that you're not going to find in our mainstream media, you can just give him a call. I think that's very, very generous. And we really appreciate it. We want to hear more about your story, and hopefully we'll be able to hear more. I really want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I really enjoy talking to you. There's so much more to what you have to say. I think we just maybe touched the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yes, but, well said, tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, but basically I am going to sum it up by telling everybody that it all comes down to loving and believing in yourself, because no matter what happens, no matter where you are, if you're centered on love and you believe in yourself, that's the key to a thriving and an abundant kind of life. When you love yourself unconditionally, your mindset shifts to the energy of love and abundance. It also enables you to have a more peaceful, a more confident life. You're happier, you're more empowered, and you're able to handle everything that you hear about, and you're able to actually step in and claim your life. Because when you feel powerful, your attitude changes from pessimistic, optimistic, and you attract more uplifting people and more people with the kind of experiences that you want to hear about. So if this is what you attract, and if you really want to know what's going on, and you're not afraid, and you can come with an open mind, then, yeah, maybe you're ready to hear more of what's really going on around us. Most people are asleep. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand, and they don't really want to. They're too busy running around, and that's really the bottom line. Get unbusy, unplug, and start opening up your eyes. Thank you, Bruce, so much. We appreciate it. And any last word that you would like to tell us?
My last word is go outside and look up and speak from your heart and ask for contact, and contact will come. So until then, happy trails.
Well, have a magical journey, and we hope to hear more from you, Bruce. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
3, like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving so fast, chasing you down the shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just the name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra. Your aviators, but your heart is on all.